Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Kishore Kishore ki jai. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Sri Sriman, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Par Acharya, Astu Tadasatta Sri Sriman, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananti Gauti Vaishnavinda ki, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki, Sri Rupa Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopala Dasa Raghunath, Sadgo Swami ki, Prem Sikha Hoshi Krishna Chaitana, Prabhu Thananda Sri Advaiti Gadhadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vinda ki, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath, Shyamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhana ki, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki, Navadvip Mayapur Dham ki, Jagannath Puri Purushottama Kshetra Dham Ki, Sri Ganga Maya Ki, Jamuna Maya Ki, Tulasi Devi Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Sri Sri Kishore Kishore Ki, Dear Lordship Sri Sri Kishore Kishore Ki, Sri Sri Nithai Gaura Chundra Ki, Sri Sri Jagannath Baladev Lady Subhadra Ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanumanji Ki, Sri Palanda Sringadeva Ki, The Divine Disappearance Day of Srila Narahari Sakar Ki, Srila Narahari Sakar Ki, Srila Narahari Sakar Tiro Bhava Ki, Nithai Gaura Premanandi, Glorious to the Assembled Devotee, Glorious to the Assembled Devotees, All Glorious to the Assembled Devotees, Glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, All Glorious to Srila Prabhupada. And someone shut off this section of lights, leave the ones in the middle on. So today is what we'll do at the beginning. First we'll honor the day, which is the disappearance day of Srila Narahari Sakar, one of the, I would say, confidential associates of Lord Chaitanya in respect in many ways. Although we don't hear much about Narahari Sakar, he performed certain activities which were quite outstanding. And to honor the great souls is actually a wonderful opportunity to increase our devotion to the Lord and to go deeper into the mood of devotion. By hearing about their pastimes and activities, we actually become inspired in our Krishna consciousness. There isn't very much available as far as written material on Srila Narahari Sakar's life. We have something from Lives of the Vaishnava Saints here. And so, with the permission and the attention of all the devotees, we'll try to read a little bit about his life. It's very short, maybe a page and a half. About 4 miles west of Katwa, within the Bardhaman district, is Srikanda, the birthplace of Narahari Sakar Thakur. Sri Mukunda Das, Sri Madhava Das, and Sri Narahari Das were brothers. Sri Mukunda's son was Sri Raghunanda Thakur. So one of Narahari Sakar's brothers was Mukunda Sakar, who was also a very important and intimate devotee of Lord Chaitanya, whose son was Srila Raghunanda Thakur, who was on at least at the same caliber of his father in devotional performance. It's interesting. The devotees of Lord Chaitanya are quite amazing. I was just listening yesterday, pastime of the Irathiyatra, where King Prachaparudra was wanting to get the association of Lord Chaitanya. And of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the role of a sannyasi, and King Prachaparudra was a king. King means we deal with the world. Deals with money and material activities and sense gratification. So, although he was a pure devotee of the Lord, he wasn't able to get the Lord's association, at least for a long time. And Lord Chaitanya would always say that, I'm in the renounced order. It is not proper for me to meet with worldly persons. Those in the renounced order of life are meant to become separate from those in the world and not associate with them, and usually in any way. Of course, in our preaching movement, we have made some adaptations by Lord Chaitanya's grace. But generally, any kind of association with worldly-minded people can pollute one. And there's rules and regulations for every ashram. So, there was many restrictions. So Lord Chaitanya would become very angry when the devotees would petition him in order to get the association, get his association. So King Prataparudra was always trying to find out how to do it. But he did get the mercy of the devotees, and ultimately he did achieve the mercy of the Lord. But at one point, when the Rath Yatra was about to begin, all the devotees were assembling from various places, coming from West Bengal and various areas around. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was somewhat of a personal friend to King Prataparudra, wanted to show the glories of the devotees. So he took him very high up on one rooftop, and all the devotees had come to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. So when he was watching from a distance all these devotees, he noticed that there was like a great effulgence, like a sun that appeared in the area. It is explained that the devotees were so effulgent in their personal, that it was, King Prataparudra was so amazed to see so many powerful and wonderful devotees coming from everywhere. He was quite shocked in one sense. In another sense, he was really very much amazed by seeing this. So his heart was really inspired to see such powerful devotees. And then another thing would happen is immediately they all went to see Lord Chaitanya, who was at another place, staying, I think, at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And they didn't go to the Jagannath temple. So he inquired, why are they not going to see the deity? Isn't the regulative principle when you come to a holy place, you first go and you offer your respects to the deity? But they didn't. They went immediately to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explains that actually the Lord is here, and so by taking darshan of the Lord, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is as good as seeing the deity, or even better. So these were the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, such powerful personalities. And one such great personality was Sri Narahari Sakar. Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami mentions the devotees of Sri Kanda as a major branch of the Chaitanya tree of Krishna Prema. The residents of Sri Kanda include Mukunda Das, Sri Raghunandana, Narahari Das, Chiranjeeva, and Sulochan. All of them together form a major branch of the Sri Chaitanya tree. As such, they were an abode of the Lord's mercy. This branch produced the fruits and flowers of bhakti in profusion. Sri Narahari Sakar was connected with many of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Narahari Chakravarti Thakur writes in Bhakti Ratnakara, Sri Narahari Thakur's glories are wonderful. In Vrindavan he was Madhumati, and his excellencies are boundless. So he was one assistant of Srimati Radharani, a gopi whose name was Madhumati. Sri Lochan Das Thakur was a dear disciple of Narahari Sakar Thakur. In his Chaitanya Mangala, he describes his Gurudev as Narahari Sakar as follows. Sri Narahari Das is my Lord. He has taught me transcendental knowledge, and I am under his influence in many other ways. His abundant Krishna prema saturates his very being. His symptoms are clearly evident in his body. No one can understand the extent of his devotion and Krishna prema. In his former existence in Vrindavan, he was known as Madhumati, a dear gopi friend of Sri Radha, who was a storehouse of sweetness. That very Shaki friend of Sri Radha appeared in the pastimes of Sri Gauranga during the age of Kali as Narahari. He was a storehouse of Radha Krishna Prema. Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur has mentioned Narahari Sakar in his Gaura Arti song. Narahari arihi korin chamaradhulayam sanjayam mukunda vasu gosharigayam. Every night we sing, when you sing Narahari, when you're singing Narahari Sakar, so you're singing his glories practically every day. Sri Narahari Sakur Thakur was a great singer, as he was a poet. He wrote many poems and songs in connections with the pastimes of Sri Gauranga and Sri Nityananda. He has written a Sanskrit book of songs called Sri Bhajanamrita, a book of songs called Padakal Pataru, describing intense separation from Sri Gauranga, has been attributed to Sri Narahari Sakar, as have some other books. Here, back to the song, Narahari, every night in the Gaur Arti, we glorify the Lord and His associates. Narahari is, he is Chamara Dulaya. He is using the Chamara to fan the Lord. The Gaur Arti song is a depiction of the Arti ceremony that is being performed on the banks of the Ganges River, where Lord Chaitanya is being worshipped as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everyone is around him performing the Arti ceremony. So Narahari Thakur is there singing and playing with the, he's fanning the Lord in his chamara, and others are singing, others are dancing. Lord Brahma is encircling the area with on his swan carrier, watching the great festival. So everyone is coming to see the Lord on the banks of the Ganges River. Now, one thing interesting about Narahari Sakura, which is shows his depth of devotion to Lord Chaitanya and his power, is that Lord Chaitanya would become quite angry when anyone would refer to him as God. In fact, he would block his ears and say, "I am not the Supreme Lord, I am just an ordinary jiva soul." And sometimes he would say, put his fingers in his ear and say, "Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu." Not wanting to be implicated in any kind of offense. So he would act like an ordinary, although he was God. But when Narahari Sakar would sing the glories of the Lord and perform his service, he would refer to Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not say anything. So we can see how dear and how special this personality was, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who always reacted in a very strong way about being called God, when Narahari Sakar would glorify him as the Supreme Lord, he would just remain silent and accept the glorification. Almost all of the songs of Sri Narahari Sakar Thakur have been included in Bhakti Ratnakara by Narahari Chakravarti Thakur. Therefore, it is sometimes difficult to tell which parts of Bhakti Ratnakara are the songs of Narahari Sakar being quoted by Narahari Chakravarti, and which parts have been written by Narahari Chakravarti Thakur. This is a dilemma. By the same token, it is hard to say exactly which songs of Gaur Lila included in Bhakti Ratnakara are written by Narahari Sakar. What complicates this is that both authors bear the name Narahari and often end a song simply by saying, "This song was sung by Narahari." This has led to a degree of confusion about the specific authorship of certain parts of the work. Although both Naraharis are great devotees of Bhakti Ratnakara and are revered as authorized Vaishnav scriptures describing the lives of the great Vaishnav saints. So it seems to be a little bit bewildering here what is actually written by Narahari Chakravarti and what are the songs of Narahari Sakar that are written within the Bhakti Ratnakara. Has anyone heard any further explanation of these? Yes? Srila Lochan Das Thakur has written, quote, "Before the birth of Sri Gauranga, many different ragas were written by Narahari, which sang of Raja Ras. Before he wrote songs of Gauranga, Narahari Sakar Thakur composed many songs glorifying Krishna. Srila Narahari Thakur passed away on the Krishna Ekadasi, the 11th day of the dark moon in the month of Agrahayana, which is today. So we're celebrating the disappearance of this very illustrious personality today as a very intimate and special devotee of the Lord, and of course an eternal associate of Srimati Radharani in the spiritual world. Any comments, questions on Narahari Sakar? There's another little story which involves the life of his disciple, Lochan Das Thakur, in which Narahari Sakar, at one time, it is mentioned, I believe it's in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he had an ashram where various devotees would be there and living, and he was more or less in charge or the head of the ashram. And Lochan Das, in his very early age, had been married. His wife was something like 7 or 8 years old when she got married. It's not quite uncommon that people get married at such a young age. Srila Prabhupada speaks of one example wherein one young girl was married at the age of 8 that he knew. She never even saw her husband, and it was arranged by the family. The husband was, I think, 12 or something. The girl was 8. Why do people marry so young? It's actually explained that according to the psychological and physical natures of the boy and girl, especially the girl, that when marriage is done at a young age and proper training is given, then the wife becomes very much attached to that man throughout her whole life. If she's allowed to roam around and shop around, find other, you know, choices, and then there's what is called pollution, or we call Vedic society does not consider that girl to be eligible for marriage, really. That was one of the things that the gopis were condemned for, that they left their husbands in the dead of night to see Krishna. And Krishna said, that's it. Your social reputation is ruined. You've come out alone. We also know the story of Ramachandra and Lord and Sita, how Sita was ultimately banned to the ashram of Valmiki Muni because of the same so-called transgression. Of course, she didn't transgress, but there was a rumor. So we see that in very early age, Lochan Das got married at a very early age, but he had no attachment to this marriage, so he left home and he went traveling. Eventually, he wound up at the ashram of Narahari Sakar, and he lived there for many years. It is explained that he had been gone at least 10 years and living as a brahmachari, a very strict brahmachari, following all the rules and regulations of brahmachari. So at one point, someone from his village knew of his whereabouts. They knew that he was living at the ashram, or staying at the ashram of Narahari Sakar. So he came to Narahari Sakar, this man. He said, you know, this man is not a brahmachari. He has a wife. He's been married many years ago, and she is still there. In fact, she's waiting for him to come back. She's been waiting for years and years, because that was the culture. And even if the husband went away, the wife would never consider to get remarried. Our Western society doesn't know the principles of social and proper development. So people just take relationships very cheaply. And because of that, the relationships become cheap. And then people change partners as fast as they change clothes. It's a fact. And it's quite disgusting when you think about it, because, you know, practically people's lives are ruined because of this. And this is why, that's why Vedic culture was the pure culture. It taught training from the very, very inception of the womb, how to live a proper social and a religious life based on religious principles. So this man complained. He said, this man is not a brahmachari. So Narhari Sakar said to Lochan Das, you have a wife, you should go back to her. He told him to go back. So he went. And he was trying to find his old village again. So he got a little bit confused, having been there, it was at least 10 years, it's mentioned. So while he was coming, he noticed there was one lady, young lady, she was drawing water from the well. And he asked about, where is this village and where is my, you know, where is his family? He mentioned the family name. So she showed him, and she pointed the direction. So he went there. And then again he found his old, what we call, father-in-law and mother-in-law. And then he came, and after he was there, he learned that this girl at the well, who he approached for directions, was actually his wife. But he didn't even know it. Didn't even recognize her after 10 years. So they came back together. Of course, he was not so enthusiastic to get back into his married life, but he followed the instructions of his spiritual master, Narahari. And he tried. Of course, he didn't really try that hard, because he had been so trained in brahmacharya life that it was so awkward for him to be with a woman that he didn't know what to do or how to act or what to say or whether to say anything at all. He would just sit there and look at her, and you know, they just would just like, okay, now what do we do? He didn't know what to do. And so after some time, she, you know, explained to her parents, you know, she understood. She was a little bit advanced. And so she said, he is definitely not going to be a good husband. She felt actually kind of bad for him. She was somewhat Krishna conscious that he should go back and live with his spiritual master in the ashram. So she made that, and of course the parents agreed. And then he went back again to his ashram in Narahari. So that's one beautiful story. And that story of course illustrates many things, but one point it does illustrate is complete dedication to the instructions of the spiritual master, even beyond what might be considered what is best for one's spiritual advancement. So that's a little story that's there in the, I believe that's in Chaitanya Bhagavan, or it may be in Chaitanya Mangala. It's in one of the writings about Lord Chaitanya. So these are a few of the pastimes of Narahari Sakar. Oh, another thing is that he has written one book. It's called Short Book, which is about 59 verses, which is called Bhajanam Amrita, which talks about the rules, regulations, and procedures that one must follow if one's spiritual master falls down. Yes, that's a very important work. In fact, it's available within our ISKCON society. What do you do when your spiritual master falls down? How to properly deal with the situation in a Krishna conscious manner? And of course, in ISKCON, we've had that situation come up quite frequently. And devotees have referred to the work of Narahari Sakar in order to get some direction on how to proceed according to proper Vaishnav Siddhanta in that case. So that's there. Has anybody read that in particular? You've read, Shankar, you've read that? Do you remember any of the points? Yeah. Since we're on Narahari Sakar, we can try to expand some of his glories.
Well, there's a certain section, that deals with completely disciple relationship.
Uh-huh.
And particularly when the guru is now active in his devotional service. The other sections are more high level parts of devotional service itself.
Mm.
The title is a devoted to simply disciple relationship.
Yeah.
One
section. In that section it talks about how to honor Vaishnavas who are of different spiritual caliber. That's interesting. It's not that all the Vaishnavas are same and one should honor exactly the same. There's different forms of etiquette and respect, especially when there are many Vaishnavas together who are, you know, associating. What? How do you react to each and every one accordingly? So it's quite interesting. Okay, so these are a few of the simple pastimes of Srila Narahari Sakar. And today is his disappearance day. Today is also, of course, the Ekadasi day. And of course, on this day we follow the rules and regulations of Ekadasi, which means no grains, no beans. One may increase one's chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. It's recommended. Srila Prabhupada gave some guidelines for how to practice Ekadasi. Of course, one may practice it in various ways. One may fast all day and chant. But generally, Srila Prabhupada didn't give that as a recommendation because he wanted devotees to engage in service. So he said, take a light prasadam and remain fixed in your devotional service. It's not a day for sleeping. There was one time one devotee who had been fasting on Ekadasi, and Prabhupada came into the room and there was another devotee there, so he said, why is he sleeping? And the man said, well, he's been fasting, that's why he's tired. Prabhupada said, give him some prasadam. The one is sleeping on Ekadasi. One should not sleep on Ekadasi. It is pretty much a transgression of the principles. Because today is a day for increased hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Another time, people were asking about different guidelines for Ekadasi. Prabhupada said that we should go on with our service, but those who stay back can increase their chanting. Like that. So it's a good day for hearing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls Ekadasi, he calls it the mother of devotion. Now, one can make nice spiritual advancement on this particular day. The Lord has given special days of the month where one can increase one's devotional service. So today is a very special day. We just take it for granted sometimes. We think, oh, Ekadasi means no chapatis. Or no dal. Right? Yes. Okay, Ekadasi again. I have to really go for the austerities. But actually, Ekadasi is actually a wonderful opportunity for spiritual advancement like that. And we can perform it in various ways. One of the things I think devotees don't understand about Ekadasi is that one should not do anything that can cause what we call one to shed blood. If you cut yourself on Ekadasi, it is considered a breach of the Ekadasi Vrata. So one thing we don't do, we learned, is we don't shave on Ekadasi. Because if you do cut yourself, it's considered to be a transgression of the principles of Ekadasi. That's one thing we never do, is shave on Ekadasi. Of course, sometimes it's an emergency where you have to meet the public and you may have to do something, but one should be very, very careful and cautious not to cut themselves if there is an emergency in that situation. And also doing hard work too can sometimes cause, you know, one to get hurt, so one has to be very careful on these days. Okay, so these are a few principles. Any questions? Narahari Sakar Akadasi. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam. Chapter 4 of the 9th canto, text number 28. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasmad adar daris chakram. Tasmad adar daris chakram. That's not the meter. Does someone know the particular? How does that go? I think. Tasmarada taris chakram. I think Hamsa Duda knows the meter. You know it? You've sang it many. Yeah. No? Tasmarada taris chakram. Pratyanika bhavayavam. Ekanta bhakti bhavena. Prito bhakta virakshanam. Tasmad adar taris chakram. Pratyanika bhavayavam. Ekanta bhakti bhavena. Prito bhakta virakshanam. Tasmar adadaris chakram. Pratyanika bhayavaham. Ekanta bhakti bhavena. Prito bhakta virakshanam. Marada staris chakra. Ekanta bhakti bhavena. Prito bhakta virakshanam. Tasmada dadharis chakram. Tasmai unto him, Ambarish Maharaj, Adat gave Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chakram, his disc, Pratyanika Bhava Baya Avaham, the Lord's disc, which was extremely fearful to the enemies of the Lord and his devotees. Try that again. The Lord's disc, which was extremely fearful to the enemies of the Lord and his devotees. Ekanta Bhakti Bhavenam. Because of his performing unalloyed devotional service. Prita, the Lord being so pleased. Bhakta Abhirakshanam, for the protection of his devotees. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Being very pleased by the unalloyed devotion of Maharaj Ambarish, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave the king his disc, which was fearful to enemies and which always protects devotees from enemies and adversaries. Translation again, please repeat. Being very pleased by the unalloyed devotion of Maharaj Ambarish, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave the king his disc, which is fearful to enemies and which always protects the devotee from enemies and adversaries. I'm sorry, from enemies and adversities. Purport: a devotee, being always engaged in the service of the Lord, may not be expert in self-defense, because the devotee fully depends on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is always sure of protection by the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj said, Naivo dvipalpara duratya ya vitarananyas tadvirya ganyanam amritad magnachita. That's from Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.43. A devotee is always merged in the ocean of transcendental bliss of rendering service to the Lord. Therefore, he is not at all afraid of any adverse situation in the material world. The Lord also promises, Kantiya pratijani hi name bhakti pranashyati. O Arjuna, you may declare to the world that my devotees of the Lord are never vanquished. 9.31 from Bhagavad Gita. For the protection of the devotees, Krishna's disc, the Sudarshan Chakra, is always ready. Therefore, this disc is extremely fearful to the non-devotees, Patyanika Bhayavaham. Therefore, although Maharaj Ambarish was fully engaged in devotional service, his kingdom was free from all fear of adversity. End of purport. Om Agyanti Midandasya Gena Jena Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Snapditam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dattanti Svapadatikam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhaktavin. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, wonderful narration. It's a little bit of a change from the previous verse, but it explains again the opulence and glory of Maharaj Ambarish. That he was so absorbed in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that he did not even consider making so many arrangements for protection. A devotee, as explained here, is always dependent on the Lord. This is what it means to be a devotee. Really, when we come down to understanding what does it really mean to be a devotee? A devotee means to be always dependent on the Lord in all situations. not in some situations or in certain situations, but in all situations. That's what it means to be a devotee. And Krishna, when he sees that, he gives his full protection. We are protected by Krishna in all situations to the degree we become dependent and fully taking shelter from his lotus feet. So a devotee's really only concern is how to fix one's consciousness on the Lord or in devotional service. And being in devotional service, and being absorbed in the service of the Lord, means to be in the spiritual energy. It has nothing to do with the material energy. Although the material energy may be everywhere, when one is engaged in devotional service, one is in a different atmosphere. One may not be able to directly reflect and perceive this, but it's a fact. Devotional service insulates and isolates one from the material energy. One is completely free from that influence, as long as we are fully engaged. Of course, if we are not fully engaged, to whatever degree we are engaged, we are given that protection and that support of that energy. So a devotee has no concern, really, about one's own welfare.